You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Welcome to Radio Aryan Britannia. Aryan Britannia. Today's date is Monday, the 15th of January, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Of course, I'm joined today by Alex Davies. Alex, how are you doing today?
Hello, everyone. I'm doing very well, thank you.
How Excellent. Are you? Oh, yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. It's a bit of a drizzly day out there, but I think we've got lots of good content for listeners today. We've had lots of stuff going on in Britain over the last week. And today it's come out in particular that the leader of UKIP, Henry Bolton, his girlfriend, Jo Marnie, has spoken out, or rather not even spoken out. This is a private conversation that she had with a friend of hers, where she was talking about Meghan Markle. And there's two things about this. It's great the things that she's actually said, but it's not so good that this was a private conversation. I mean, if you're talking privately to somebody, you don't expect it to then get printed. And this isn't something she said in public. What I'll do, I think I'll read out the quotes of the actual story and then we'll discuss it, because there's quite a lot here. It says, Jo Marnie says that Prince Harry's black American fiancé will taint the royal family with her seed and pave the way for a black king. There's nothing wrong with that. Miss Marnie also said that she would never have sex with a Negro because they are ugly. Nothing wrong with that either. She was immediately suspended from UKIP last night after the Mail on Sunday alerted party chiefs to her grossly offensive comments. In Miss Marnie's messages, which she sent to a male friend just 3 weeks before starting her relationship with Mr. Bolton, she sneers at Harry's engagement to Los Angeles-born Markle, who will marry Harry on May the 19th, on the grounds that she is a black American. Miss Marnie also describes Miss Markle, whose mother is black and whose father is white, as a scrubber and a gender equality tart who is obsessed with race and a dumb little commoner. Alluding to ethnic minorities in general, Miss Marnie writes that they are pushing their way to the top slowly. Next will be a Muslim prime minister and a black king. The ex-model, who has remained in touch with the friend she texted since starting her relationship with Mr. Bolton, tells him that she would not have sex with a Negro. When the friend asks her what is wrong with black people, she replies, ugly, not my thing, just personal taste. They don't turn me on. During the exchange, Miss Marnie, who is from Kent and describes herself as an actor and music journalist, also complains that there is an immigration problem, saying this is Britain, not Africa. After a friend accuses her of being racist, she writes, lol, so what? Not wanting other races and cultures to invade your own culture doesn't mean I hate their race. It just means I don't want their culture invading mine. After being confronted with her texts by the Mail on Sunday last night, Miss Marnie apologised for her comments, which she claimed had been taken out of context. And then she goes into all these, gets all apologetic and says how terrible these things are that she said. And what she really should have said is, how dare you print my private texts to a friend of mine? This isn't public. This isn't a matter of public interest that somebody doesn't like their country being invaded and just happens to be stepping out with the leader of UKIP. It's terrible that UKIP have actually suspended her from the party for this. But what she has said is just what everybody's saying in Britain. Everybody is absolutely disgusted. They can't believe what Prince Harry is doing. And this, to me, is very encouraging that there's a 25-year-old, attractive, blonde woman who is saying this. You know, this is what everyone is thinking, and this is now in the newspapers, and we've yet to see Henry Bolton, what's going to happen to him, but he's probably going to be forced to step down or else in some way disassociate himself from her, when really he should be standing behind her, he should be backing her up. He should be saying. She's entitled to her private opinion. How dare you take her private texts? And this is, texts are like writing a letter. As if you had written a private letter to somebody, and the Daily Mail had then printed that for all the public to see. It's not like she said anything illegal. She's not encouraging violence. She's not calling for any violence. She's not used any racial slurs. All she's said is that she finds Negroes ugly. Well, Negroes are objectively ugly to white people. Of course they will be ugly to white people. Cats are ugly to dogs. They're a different species, a different subspecies to us. So we should naturally find them ugly. We should find them repulsive. And that's just objectively speaking, because they are different to us. We have genetic similarity theory, which says that we pick people that have the same or a large amount of the same hereditary genes as ourselves. This is why we pick partners that look like our grandparents, or partners that are similar to our mothers or similar to our fathers. And obviously an extension of that is you are naturally going to find, only going to find members of your own race attractive. These people that go with other races are doing so out of a fetish. It's unnatural. And this woman here is just basically, she's normal, and she's being castigated for that, and he's being punished for this. What are your thoughts on it, Alex, after those few that I've mentioned?
Yeah, well, let's be honest, it's not surprising that UKIP have gone the way that they've gone and said, oh, this is terrible, and they've gone and suspended her. I don't think that's going to surprise anyone at all, because at the end of the day, UKIP are not a racialist party, and they don't have racial principles. So why are they going to make a stand on race? But at the end of the day, whenever you are faced with a situation like this, kowtowing and backtracking and trying to be apologetic will not get you anywhere. All it's going to do is dig you into a deeper hole. So really, yeah, you are right. What they should have done is they should have backed this lady up. They should have said, oh, these are private messages, and we're a libertarian party, or we're a party that believes in freedom of speech, and what people say in their private conversations is none of our business. If she was to say this in a public place, if she was to say it in a public forum, then as a member of our party, then we would get involved. But she didn't. Therefore, we're not getting involved, and people should respect her privacy. But As you can see, they haven't done that. They've decided to go down the apologetic route and try to placate the politically correct media, and that never works.
Halfpennyworth. Yeah, it never ends when you try to please the press. Because I think she would have lots more support from general public than the press give credit for. I think that just the fact that she's going against the grain, a lot of people will have support for that. And as I say, people are just, they're disgusted at what's happening with the royal family. And she's not an official spokeswoman for UKIP. She's only a member. It's not like she's speaking for them. The press are saying that anybody that has these views has to be kicked out from the party. And yet I would suggest that the majority of members of UKIP think the same way that she does, and the leadership of UKIP are not reflective of the members. I think the leadership have always been a lot softer than the actual members are. I mean, we've had five different leaders in the last 18 months, I think, culminating in Henry Bolton and the leadership contest with Emery Water. She's gone off to form For Britain, and she's still counter-signalling and saying, she says, oh, we're not far right, we're not racists. And all she speaks about is Islam and Muslims. And, it doesn't matter what religion they are. It's the fact that they are a different race that causes the problems. If you look in Africa, it doesn't matter if the country is a Christian or Muslim. They're still going to behave in the same way. You're still going to have a massively high rape rate. There's going to have no laws. The country is going to be filled with trash. They're going to be shitting in the streets. I mean, it doesn't matter what religion they are. They are just completely different to us and they have no place being in Britain.
Indeed. I mean, just look at Liberia. Liberia has the same constitution as America and the United States. And it's still a third world shithole, to quote Trump, as any other African country. This question of, it's just a question of religion or values or political structure, that doesn't matter. It's a question of human material, and that's what causes these problems. You're right in saying that you're right in pointing out that that there's that problem in the civic nationalist position that, you can point out all the problems with Islam. You can point out all of the nasty things that Muhammad did when he was about, well, that's all well and good. But at the end of the day, you look at all these black kids who come from nice Christian households who are going about on mopeds battering old ladies.
Look at the basketball Americans, the ones that went to Japan and started shoplifting. It doesn't matter how well brought up they are, they're going to behave the same. I think Trump was great to say why are we getting all these people from these shithole countries last week, and of course he's been attacked for this. This is terrible. This is racist. And then what do we have over the weekend? We have Negroes beating up H&M stores in South Africa. It's hilarious to watch. Drop kicking dummies, throwing everything around, throwing their toys out of the pram because there was a sweatshirt that said the coolest little monkey in the jungle or something. And the very fact that they get so excited about this, it proves that they do look like monkeys. White kids couldn't care less. White kids love being called little monkeys. They don't mind. And it proves that blacks have got this big chip on their shoulder and that there is difference between the races, because otherwise it wouldn't matter. It just wouldn't matter if a black kid was wearing coolest monkey in the jungle. It's because they do look like monkeys. And this... go on.
There was I'm not sure if you go on YouTube and you look at some of these like prank videos that are really popular at the moment. There was a raft of prank videos where people would go into like the ghetto areas and they'd go up to black people and they'd say things like, "Hi neighbor," or they'd go, "Oh, there's a nickel." And, they'd go and the blacks would mishear it and they'd think, "Oh, that guy said nigger." And what would be the blacks' first response? The blacks' first response would be to resort to violence. So if you want to see like what the typical behavior of these people are, just look at that. The first instance, if somebody goes up to a white guy and goes, "Oh, look, there's a cracker," or something, the white guy isn't just going to, drop it, put up his fists and start punching, whereas these blacks literally within a matter of seconds, they go from completely passive to being like aggressive and ready to, ready to have a scrap.
Oh, they always resort to violence.
It's amazing. It's amazing how there's no like, it's like a switch goes and there's no thinking between what's going on. It's just straight towards let's go and have a fight, that's what these people are like.
Well, they don't have a word for past tense or future tense. There's just now, so thinking of what's going to happen in the future is quite alien to them. Your thought processes are intimately tied in with your language, and if your language doesn't express future tense and past tense, it means that you don't think in future tense or past tense. They only live in the now. This is why giving them threats of sending them to prison in 6 months or a year's time after they had a trial, that's not going to affect their behavior in any way at all, because all they can see is, if I take this, I've got this now and I'm happy in the present, or I am feeling aggrieved right now in the present, so I'm going to kick off and smash a load of dummies up, or smash a load of people up, or I've got a hard on right now, so I'll rape that woman. I mean, that's the most common thing.
It's like DeAndre Harris. DeAndre Harris went, "Hey, I wanna get me a white boy. I want to beat up a white boy. And then what happened? He ended up getting like 100 stitches put in his head. You know, it's the problem with the short-term thinking.
I hear he's just got into trouble again, actually, as well.
I think he's got two more charges, a weapons charge and a drugs charge.
Excellent. Again, that shows you the difference in the way people are treated. I mean, the white guys are still there in prison on remand.
Still in prison, yeah.
He's just let off. These comments that Trump made, they are quite clearly true, and they have been proved true with these H&M store attacks. And again, this bears out what Joe Marnie has said. And I think the fact that she has said this, it actually makes Henry Bolton look better that he's got a girlfriend like that. I mean, you were just saying when we were off air as well that you think something similar, Alex.
Well, I think actually what he's done is quite bad. I think suspending your girlfriend doesn't look very good, and it probably isn't going to go down well in the household either. But, you know, when it came out that he was going out with a 25-year-old, the media went and turned around and said, oh, this is bad. Isn't this going to be, distracting from UKIP and the main message and this type of thing? But no, I think, if you're a 53-year-old bloke and you're going out with a 25-year-old model, I think that's a big boost to your social standing. You know, it's like what Trump does. Trump always in his career surrounded himself with beautiful women because beautiful women are a status symbol. Beautiful women don't hang around with losers and people who aren't worth the time of day. Beautiful women hang around with successful people who are worth the time of day. And so what Henry Bolton has done by getting with this young, attractive woman is going to be a massive boost to his standing. He can go, it will strike a chord with a huge section of the population. So I think that was a good thing that he did, but he shouldn't have suspended her. That's going to look really bad, actually. It does not look good when you suspend, you know, anybody who you're related to, let alone the woman that you're meant to be sleeping with.
Do you know much about Henry Bolton? All I know is that he sort of arrived right out of the blue to take the vote away from Anne-Marie Waters. Do you know much about him at all?
Well, he's quite an interesting character because he was originally he came from the Liberal Democrats over to UKIP, and he had two previous wives, and both of them were foreigners, Europeans, and he's quite an interesting character because he comes from this sort of quite cosmopolitan sort of background. I think he's worked in Europe as well as like a bureaucrat. So he's not a typical UKIP type, but he's very interesting in that when he appeared on Question Time before Christmas, he didn't come across as being very hardline. He came across as being very moderate, and that was his position in the race, wasn't it? That he was, you know, you had the option of Anne-Marie Waters, who was this who they tried portraying as this really bigoted woman who had these awful views on Islam. And there's me, who's like this nice moderate guy. And unfortunately, he sort of won out on that. So he's quite an interesting person, I think. He's not sort of what you'd expect from a UKIP candidate.
Also, do you think he's moved to the right? Do you think he's moved to the right then? From the Liberal Democrats, or is he, you know, trying to inject Liberal Democrat ideology into UKIP, do you think?
I think it's more of a case of he is probably Eurosceptic, but has some quite liberal views.
Right.
On other issues.
I was thinking, you know, the actual vote itself was split entirely, well, almost entirely in half between him and Anne-Marie Waters. So it split the party in half, and a lot of the members went off with her to join the For Britain party. And then Nigel Farage came out and called half the party Nazis and said anyone that supported Anne-Marie Waters was a Nazi and a racist. Exactly the same slur that has been used against Nigel Farage. And when he did that, he went right down in my estimation. And last week he was on our left-wing talk show in the mornings, and they asked him about whether what he thought about a second referendum, and he said, "Oh, I would support a second referendum because I think we would win with an even bigger margin this time round, and then that would shut all the Ramonas up, and it would silence Blair and all the rest of them, and they'd have to get on with Brexit." But the fact that he was saying that I support a second referendum makes me question whether he knows something that we don't, because then the next day he was backtracking a bit, and he was saying, well, what I'm saying is that people need to prepare for a second referendum, because every time the people have voted in Europe and they've voted the way that the European Union don't want them to, they force them to have another referendum. And now we've got this coming out, this attack on Henry Bolton's girlfriend, and she's been removed from the party. There's going to be an investigation into whether Henry Bolton is suitable. And it may be that Henry Bolton is going to be removed. And I think maybe Nigel Farage will step back in again and lead UKIP again. It all seems very, very strange to me. And Anne-Marie Waters, I really had high hopes for her. I thought she was going to move more to the right and be more racial. I've heard her use the term white race a few times, but she seems to be backtracking on that. I heard a recent interview where it was all about Israel and persecution of the Jews and how the Muslims are being nasty to the Jews. And Muslims and Jews are both just as much of a threat to us. But both of them we don't want in our countries. They just cause us harm. But I think UKIP, if Nigel Farage joins them, they're just going to move even further to the left. And that could be the only thing that could possibly save them now, is if Nigel Farage does join them, because they're just a dead duck. They've got no MPs, no Euro MPs. Half the party has gone off to join For Britain. And this is civic nationalism in Britain now. It's just split in two. And we've got Nigel Farage, who we hoped would move further to the right, and he just seems to be moving further to the left. To accuse the members of his former party of being Nazis and racists, when that's what he is called, is disgusting. We don't see this on the left. We don't see the left attacking other parts of the left. And yet on the right, we see it all the time. All the time we see civic nationalists attacking ethno-nationalists. We hear people running down the National Front. That's their favourite one, running down the National Front or the BNP. And yet the BNP and the National Front's policies, a lot of the time they aren't that different from For Britain or from UKIP. And they're sensible policies. We want to repatriate the people that shouldn't be here from being in our country. Yes, we do want capital punishment for paedophiles, and we want serious punishment for traitors. Traitors should have capital punishment as well. This is why the government are doing their best to silence us and try to stop all this fight back against them, is because they know that if we ever do get to power, they'll be tried for their crimes. It's serious crimes that they've committed against us. And I think Henry Bolton, he has gone out. I think having that young girlfriend definitely makes him look more appealing, but then stabbing her in the back like this and allowing the party to just suspend her just shows him to be a weakling, I think.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny. I was reading the Daily Stormer article on this, and Anglin said, I think it was Anglin who wrote it, said that what's happened is she's got her views from him, and she's been racialized by him. Now, I don't think that's the case, because I don't think, looking at his biography, he's going to be particularly racial. So I think she's got her views from somewhere else.
Not in 3 months.
Or her views are her own, which is quite interesting.
Is it? I mean, he's only been with her for about 3 months, hasn't he? Since just before Christmas?
Yeah, 2-3 months, yeah. Not a particularly long time.
So it would have been from somebody else rather than from him, and she may have influenced his views. But those views are very common, especially among under 30. I think the younger you go, the more racist people are. It definitely seems that way in Europe. I know over here we've had this Brexit vote that older people voted to leave the European Union more than young people did. But from what I see, it's young people that are questioning all of this, because they're the ones that are being forced to go to school with the non-whites and put up with them. and put up with all this propaganda brainwashing about accepting faggotry and transsexuals and all the races are the same, when quite clearly they aren't. I remember when I was young at school, I could see through a lot of the brainwashing, and I was really against being at school because of it. And that was years ago. It must be loads worse now. And even back then, I could see that feminism was wrong. And I was quite shocked that some of the girls that were in my class were offering support for feminism. And I was, I can remember thinking at the time, you don't want to be miserable, single mother, do you? You can't do. Don't you want a bloke to be providing for you so that you've got everything done for you? I couldn't believe that people would actually fall for it. And I'm sure young people today are the same. And this girl's 25. I just hope we hear more from her. I want to hear more from her, more from her views. Maybe she could join another party, join the National Front. We need a nationalist party in Britain, Alex, desperately. A real nationalist party.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I'm
an accelerationist. You know, I'm of the view that, you know, democracy at the end of the day isn't going to provide the solutions that we need. But there is an advantage to having a party that is well organized and that puts out the right message and is ideologically sound. I think that there is a benefit to that. Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, it's a case of putting that together. There are parties out there. I mean, there's no shortage of racial nationalist parties. I think there's about, you know, I can think of about three or four possible candidates for a racial nationalist, you know, to become the premier racial nationalist political party. But it's a case of, you know, none of these parties really stand out. You know, one of them might be larger than the others, but that party doesn't have the professionalism to really capture people's attention. There is another party that does have a lot of professionalism, that does look very polished, but the leadership have such a terrible reputation. Nobody would trust them. And then, you know, you've got other parties then that are sort of somewhere in between.
I heard recently that the BNP had lost faith in their leadership and they were going to be removing their leader and having a leadership election. I mean, I'd really like to see someone like Mark Cullett doing that. You know, I can't believe they got rid of him. You know, he was a rising star, wasn't he, some time back?
I don't want to talk about Mark Collett, but all I can say is there were reasons why he was removed from the BNP, and that's how history went. You know, he was removed from the BNP.
Well, we definitely need to get something going over here. I mean, look what's going on in America at the moment. You've got Donald Trump, which has galvanized white people everywhere. And you've got a big movement towards ethno-nationalism. Look at Europe. You've got the Alternative for Deutschland. You've got the Freedom Party in Austria. You've got Generation Identitaire. You've got all things that are moving forwards. And here you've got a massive clampdown on nationalists. You've got a nationalist group that's been declared to be terrorists that just doesn't exist anymore. And then you've got CIVNAT groups like Britain First who are being persecuted and arrested for giving speeches in Northern Ireland. And that's about all we've got. And yet we're seeing huge successes everywhere else. And there is one group, these white Pendragons last week, who did a bit of direct action. And that was very entertaining to see. They went into the Fabian Society. Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, the Pakistani mayor, he was giving a speech to the Fabians. And they bought tickets, they went in there, and ostensibly to give him a citizen's arrest and to arrest him. And they said this, and I mean, I have criticisms of them. They should have rehearsed this more. They should have rehearsed exactly what they were going to say, and they should have had specific points. But it did get a lot of media attention, and one of them was very quick thinking, and he waved a United States flag. Because the point of this, why they wanted to arrest Sadiq Khan, is because of his comments his anti-Donald Trump comments, claiming to be speaking for the whole of London and claiming to be speaking for Britain, when he has no business getting involved in international politics. He's just the mayor of London. That's all he is. He should be concentrating on London. He should be lowering the crime rate and stopping immigration, not interfering and attacking Trump, because Donald Trump has now said that he's not coming to Britain for his visit. And we should be doing all we can to placate Donald Trump. He said we were going to be at the front of the queue for the trade talks when Obama said we'd be at the back. And all our government have done, Labour and Conservative, is irritate him since then. We've had Theresa May's been scolding him, and Sadiq Khan has been attacking him and saying that he's low IQ and all this sort of stuff. And it's come out this week that one of the reasons why Donald Trump doesn't want to come to Britain is because of Sadiq Khan. And because he believes that the British government thinks the same way that Sadiq Khan does. So these white Pendragons, it's Dave Russell and the rest of them, went in there for this direct action. That's why they were waving the flag. And it did get a lot of attention. I think it was quite good over and all. It could have been done better. What are your thoughts on the white Pendragons and their direct action last week?
I think it looked a bit stupid, to be honest with you. I don't know. First of all, I don't know why anybody would do a direct action based on Donald Trump being not coming to the UK, because at the end of the day, Donald Trump isn't an ally of ours. He's not a friend of our sort of political vision. He's an American nationalist, and he's not somebody who we particularly should have much time for. Secondly, it just looked really unprofessional. As you say, they didn't seem to know what they were doing. You know, it was just some bloke with a small American flag, and it just looked really confused. You know, what are they doing? You know, do they really think that they're gonna be able to conduct a citizen's arrest of Sadiq Khan? Of course they're not. And it just looked a little bit, like a shit show. And not a lot of thought had been put into it, you know. I'll give an example of why, if you're going to do a direct action, sort of what you should aim to target. The Fabian Conference, nobody covers the Fabian Conference. It's an indoor event that nobody cares about. What you've actually done is you've actually given the Fabians loads of publicity anyway. What you should do is you should target an event that's going to get publicity, and you should try and derail that. So the example I would give is the march that we crashed with Eddie Izzard.
Yeah,
what they wanted to do with that march was portray a large gathering of people from a cross section of society, young, old, rich, poor, blah, 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 a large cross section of the population wanting to remain in the EU and to have a second referendum. Rather than being able to put forward that message, what ended up happening was you had a lot of media attention focused on the fact that a Polish bloke nicked somebody's beret, and that a load of police officers were a bit heavy-handed in bringing this guy down.
The pink beret. I think there was an award, a pink beret award that the London Forum gave out for that bit of activism, because that was so well done. And it did. It hijacked all the main newspaper pages were about that, and the fact that it was a Polish guy that was anti the European Union.
Yeah.
I think what they were doing with this, they had a lot of free man on the land ideas, which is looking at the difference between common law and statute law. Go on.
Well, the free men on the land idea is a bit crazy anyway, isn't it? You know, it's a little bit, it's all well and good from a legal standpoint. You know, it's a nice little theory, but you try and go into court with any of that stuff and you get laughed at.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. And also, people don't really know what that is. And they're just going to say, what are you talking about? What are you going on about? They needed a really simple message. Like, we've come in here to give a citizen's arrest to Sadiq Khan. We've come here because we know this is where he is going to be. And these are the charges that we are laying against him. And then they should have read them out. And then that would have got on the news. Because I believe what it was is because they're saying that he's interfering in politics and he's now scuppered the chances of us having a good trade deal with Donald Trump, with his attacks against Trump.
But he's a public figure.
Well, if he's a public figure, he should be doing all he can to butter Trump up. They all should be. They should all be being really nice to him.
That's not illegal, though. It's not illegal not to butter up somebody. Then like a Zionist could go, oh, well, you're not cozying up to Israel enough. You know, don't you know Israel's our greatest ally? You know, it's the only democracy in the Middle East, you know.
But his loyalty is supposed to be to Britain, isn't it?
You could then have Zionists going around, you know, doing citizens' arrests on people who are anti-Zionist.
Well, the thing is, with America, we want to be doing a trade deal with them. So his loyalty should be to Britain, not to political correctness. And that goes for the whole government. So I'm guessing that their charges they were laying against him were treason. But you can tell from the conversation me and you are having now, Alex, it's very confusing. We don't know what the reason for his arrest was.
What was he actually, you know, what law has he actually broken?
I mean, it may go back to, they were talking about the Magna Carta, so it may be that somebody needs to be a Christian to be the Lord Mayor. I don't know. They weren't clear about it. We don't know what it is. And they said that they were very proud because they'd managed to get the police to say that they're going to investigate it. But as the police said, the correct way of doing that is to report a crime to the police, not to try and make a citizen's arrest. So it wouldn't surprise me if they themselves end up in court for this. They said that they wanted to draw attention to the Fabian Society, and they said that the Fabian Society is responsible for subverting our education system, subverting our democracy, but they didn't actually lay any specific charges. They didn't come out with any instances of that. And we know that all the Labour prime ministers have been members of the Fabian Society. And they also mentioned the logo of it. They said, but it wasn't really clear. The logo of it is a wolf in sheep's clothing,
that go back to George Bernard Shaw?
Yeah, I think he's tied in with it.
Yeah. This all just tries to make the Fabian Society out to be some sort of really, conspiratorial kind of organization when it's not. I mean, it's all quite plain what the Fabians are about, and that is they are people who advocate socialism, but through reform of the existing system rather than through revolution.
Well, there are a lot of these groups involved as well, and this is one of the things that the conspiracy crowd mix up. They'll say, oh, it's the Bilderbergers. Oh, it's the Fabian Society. Oh, it's the Tavistock Institute. Oh, it's Common Purpose. These are all various different arms of the octopus, I guess, tentacles of the octopus. But the actual octopus at the center is Jewry and the people that help Jewry. And it's the ethnicity that's there that gets them to behave in the way that they do. They're not sitting there all conspiring together. This is just what they do. And I think it deflects from the ethnic component of it to say that, oh, it's this one group or, oh, it's that one group. You know, this is why I don't say, oh, it's the Zionists, because it's not the Zionists. It's the Jews and it's the traitors in our government. They may support the State of Israel, but they certainly don't support all Jews going to the State of Israel, which is what Zionism is, if I've got it correctly. It's Jews going to the State of Israel. Jewish nationalism.
Well, when we say Zionism, we should put Zionism in quotation marks, because it's not the way Zionism works out. Really, isn't it? Isn't like a form of nationalism. Really, it's a form of occupation.
Yeah, it's international, isn't it? It's Jews running everyone else's government.
Yeah, indeed. You know, we all count out these people, and we all end up paying them.
I think we can see from this that white people, when they get involved in direct action, it's non-violent, and there's a bit of thought behind it. And when you see Negroes get involved in direct action, it's just destroying inanimate objects over there in South Africa. If you compare the two types of activism, one is non-violent and the other one is just absolutely mindless violence.
And well, what about the Black Bloc?
Well, black again. That's leftist, isn't it?
A lot of white leftists.
I bet a lot of them are homosexuals or mixed race or perverts of some kind or Jews of some kind. In my experience with leftists, well, a lot of them are mixed race, you know.
Well, it's quite interesting. I mean, I came across a guy who went from being a kind of Black Bloc anarchist who used to go to the guy for, you know, the 5th of November demonstrations.
The Anonymous
put on. He used to go on those. And yeah, a lot of them are white. A lot of them are white, but the whites that do go are mixed in with sort of drug crowds and those types of things. There's a big, you know, a lot of them are involved in things like the rave scene and things like that. So yeah, a lot of them end up being, yeah, they are degenerates, but they are still white. Unfortunately, a lot of white people are degenerates, so that's not really unique anymore.
Well, maybe we could say it was nationalists then, because the blacks over there in South Africa, it's some kind of socialist group, Antifa organization that was doing all this smashing up of the whatever you call it, the clothing store. It did look very funny anyway, just to watch. And in the same story on the news, you've got Donald Trump saying these countries are shithole countries. Oh, how terrible Donald Trump is. You've got Henry Bolton's girlfriend saying Negroes are ugly and they're going to bring the country down. Oh, what a terrible person she is. And the next news story is Negroes on the rampage. And yet we're supposed to think that the other two stories are terrible for people pointing out the obvious that this is the way that Negroes behave. And then the news companies are being forced to show that, yes, this is the way that Negroes behave. And the way that Blackies behave is, you know, they will always advocate for what's best for their own people, the same as all races. So Sadiq Khan, as mayor of London, is just going to be doing what's best for other Pakistanis. It should have been clear from the moment he got voted in, when in Pakistan they were all holding celebrations. Why would they be holding celebrations if the guy that had just been elected mayor of London had loyalty to London? His loyalty isn't to London. It's to Pakistan. And I think that's the point that these white Pendragons were trying to make, is his loyalty thing. Because they did say that he's worked for terrorist organizations or something. It seems a bit weird.
Well, good for him. To be fair, I think actually, rather than sort of moaning about how an Asian politician is loyal to other Asians, maybe we should actually be complaining about white politicians not being loyal to white people. Let's think about, you know, the MP for Batley and Spen, you know, why there are Muslim grooming gangs operating in that constituency. Why doesn't she stand up for her white constituents? Why don't we see the MP for Rotherham standing up for her white constituents? Why don't we see these MPs in these areas where there are rape gangs targeting young white girls? Why don't we see these MPs standing up for their white constituents? And why don't we see nationalist groups targeting these MPs for campaigns of direct action? If you're going to try and apply political pressure to people, apply political pressure to the people who you might actually have a chance of affecting.
I think you got a good point there. The people that facilitate allowing all the ethnic minorities in the first place. I couldn't believe Jo Cox when she first went into Parliament and gave her speech. I happened to be watching the TV at the time, and she gave her speech, and it said where she was from, back in Spain. I thought, well, that's very near to Rotherham. And then she started talking about all the wonderful things Muslims have brought us and how wonderful diversity is. I thought, how can you say that when 1,400 white girls have been raped in your constituency? Yeah. And here you are blathering about how wonderful it is.
Well, Tommy Robinson's done a piece about a woman from Batley who was attacked by like a gang of Muslims, and you can see the injuries that they inflicted on her. You know, she's got like a massive scar across her face, eyes so her eyes have been her black eyes are so dilated that she can't see out of them properly, you know, really terrible injuries. Like, she's been properly, horrifically beaten. And, you know, Tommy Robinson's done a piece on this. And funnily enough, like, the police won't do anything about it. The police don't consider it to be racially motivated or anything. And surprise, surprise, the cop dealing with it, the top police officer in the area, is a Muslim. You know, surprise, surprise. But it's a case of, well, that's actually somewhere where we could be applying pressure and could see some tangible progress. You're not going to get tangible progress by trying to arrest the mayor of London, you know. Be realistic, come on.
How must it feel to have been treated like that so horrifically, and then you go to report the crime and it's the same person there that's just given you all these injuries that you're reporting the crime to? It's ridiculous.
Well, if you say that, you're gonna get arrested for racism, probably.
Well, yeah. Well, this is it. Well, you know what also happened last week. There was a report given on these rape gangs that said that they were Asian, the victims were white, and it was, the government has said that it should be prosecuted as if it was a racial hate crime, but the judges didn't. And there was a comment page on Facebook, and some people put comments up there, and the police, because one person complained, the police then went out in a team and they arrested two people and charged two people with race hate crimes, and they went round to six other people's houses and gave them a warning for hate speech, for basically saying, we don't like this, we're not happy about this. And the police have sent out a warning that people aren't to criticise Muslim grooming gangs, basically. So yeah, they're quite happy to do that.
That's what it's like living in the occupied state of Great Britain, you know. If you say something that they don't like, they will come and get you. Unfortunately, this is why we've got to box clever, because if you say something that they don't like, they will come after you and they will put you in prison.
Well, this is another charge that can be laid at Sadiq Khan's feet, is that he's diverted £2 million to a special hate crime squad while crime rates are going through the roof in London. And he's cutting the amount of police officers there are, but increasing the amount of police officers there are for criticism online, for people that are criticizing the government's policies. People have got to wake up. When it says hate speech, what it means is being critical of the government's immigration policy, or being critical of the government's policy towards these Muslim rape gangs, because that's what they are. And these white girls that they abuse, they are little more than white slaves. They're white sex slaves. Exactly the same thing as Islam has done since the 7th century. Taken white slaves and turned them into sex slaves. They might call them prostitutes or grooming gangs, but that's what they are. White sex slaves.
Yeah, exactly. And, just this week, a historical grooming gang was busted. 20 Muslims were arrested in Halifax, in the Halifax area. So it's one of these things. It's just such a huge problem, how it's almost unfathomable how many people have been affected by this. But what's worse, I think, is just how little of a reaction there's been. You know, I remember when the Rotherham thing first broke, and that felt, you know, the first big demonstration after that, after the report came out, felt like there was something happening. But the anger dissipated so quickly. It's unbelievable. And this is where I think we need, you know, where there's a danger here. And that is that simply people are too apathetic, and people really need to break this spell of apathy, because otherwise, what's going to happen is we are going to get trampled on, and nobody's going to stand up for us, because the only people who are going to stand up for us are us ourselves. And if we don't get angry, then nothing's going to change.
I think one of the other ways they dealt with this at the time was to ban nationalist protests. I remember seeing a request to ban nationalist protests in Rotherham. They wanted to ban people from speaking up about what was going on there. They said that there were people coming there from all over the country to protest what had been going on, and they wanted to stop that. Not that they wanted to stop the Muslim rape gangs, but they wanted to stop the people that were complaining about it.
Yeah, I believe they put in place special conditions. So they did things like banning face coverings. They did all sorts of things. I remember one of the protests, it got to the point where Rotherham was basically shut down by the police because they drafted in so many pigs, hundreds of them in full riot gear. And it got to the point where they outnumbered the people coming into the town. So they can, you know, it turned into a police march. It wasn't a nationalist march. It was a police march. And that just shows the, I suppose it shows the power of the state, doesn't it? It shows just how much power these people have.
Do you know if there was any violence? Was there any property damaged by nationalists or any packies that were beaten up badly or anything that happened at the time? Do you know?
Oh, I wish. But do you think anything happened? Did it fuck?
So they got no excuse for
there was a little bit of there was a little bit of argy bargy here and there, but given the amount of people who turned up and the level of anger, it was proportional. It wasn't anything you could really point to and go, oh, that was completely out of order. No, there was a little bit of pushing and shoving. I think a couple of bottles might have been thrown by the usual, you know, EDL types, but in general, these protests were peaceful and nothing really happened. And certainly, there was no major damage to property or no packies were put in hospital or anything.
Well, that does seem to have been at least there was these Justice for Chelsea demonstrations that took place last year, and I thought that was quite encouraging. It looked to me like there were 3,000 or 4,000 people that were at this. And again, it was like, well where's it gone? What's happened to it? Like, what happened to the Rotherham ones? They just dissipated. What happened to this Justice for Chelsea ones? So they just dissipated again. We need something to harness that power, I think, and get all these people together. It's no good just having a demonstration in one place and thinking, oh, that's it. I've done my bit now. You know, we need something that's going to bring these groups together. And this is why I say I have got high hopes for Mark Cullett and Millennial Woes. They've got thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of subscribers on their YouTube channels. If they can get those people to take that out into the real life and do something, then, you know, you may see a crossover with Tommy Robinson's followers, because he seems to have been getting more and more people especially with his TV program. If we could just get all these people together, you know, we'd have easily as many people as they had on that anti-terrorism march, the Football Lads Alliance. It's just a question of getting people to do it. If we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it for us. That's the thing.
Yeah, but you can't put your faith in the Tommy Robinsons and the Millennial Woeses. You know, Tommy Robinson is a pro-Israel anti-racist. You know, he thinks that it's more important to, you know, if the National Front turn up at one of his demonstrations and some Muslims turn up, he's going to have more of an issue with the National Front than he is with the Muslims. If a black guy turns up at one of his demonstrations, he'll put him up on the front of the stage and go, oh, look, guys, there's a black guy here. We're not racist. You know, that's what he'll do. And then people like Millennial Woes, well, do you really expect someone like Millennial Woes is going to come out from, you know, behind his computer screen and get anything organized, really? I don't see a lot of, I don't see a lot of potential there. But there are, you know, I think where you've got to look to is you've got to look to things like the Daily Storm of Book Clubs. You've got to look to things like the System Resistance Network. You've got to look to things like Generation Identity that's just kicked off in the UK. You've got to look to those things. And I think they're the only places where you can look to and see actual real life networking and activism starting to take place.
Can you see a time when Tommy Robinson will end up showing more support for the National Front, realizing that this is a racial thing? It's white people.
No.
I think we might do. Things are going to continue to get worse, and the worse they get, the more people are going to end up. We are going to end up having to be just looking out for white people. Because nobody else is going to do it for us. That poem, first they came for the so-and-sos and I didn't do anything, and then they came for the other lot and I still didn't do anything. It's the same thing here. And eventually I think people are going to realize it, and they're going to realize that it's your, it's, it's your race that you need to be standing up for, regardless of what ideology they have, if they're left or if they're right, or it doesn't matter what they think politically. If they're white people, then we are being victimized by the system. It doesn't matter what political ideology these victims of the Muslim rape gangs had. They were white. Didn't matter if they were to the right or to the left or what they are. They were white, and that's the important thing. That's what matters. You know, I really hope that eventually these CivNat types realize that they've got to. Surely they've got to. I mean, especially if we see more of it happening in overseas. Now, I think since the rise of the alt-right in America, that has racialized a lot of things. I think Tommy Robinson has gone more to the right and has become more accepting of the racial side of things since then. Now, I know that before then he was very against anything racial, but now you'll hear him using terms like the white race and white genocide. And the same with Anne-Marie Waters. If you look at Katie Hopkins, if you look at the way that she's improved over the last 2 years, I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, she's now at the Rebel. Okay, the Rebel is a limited hangout. But before that, she was on the Daily Mail. And before that, she was on the TV's Apprentice. It's a trajectory further towards racialism that I see happening. And that's what I want to see happening. And it's a shame that what causes that is harm to us, more victimization of us, more white victims. The more white victims there are, the more chances there are of white people waking up and putting a stop to there being any more white victims. But so it's either we demonstrate and we draw attention to these facts, or we have to wait until there's more dead bodies. That's the choice. It's down to us.
Well, indeed. I think realistically, we are just going to have to see more dead bodies, unfortunately. I think unless things get worse, then people won't wake up, you know. But yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with what you're saying in terms of there is a trajectory. People very, very rarely do people start, you know, as full 1488ers. And I'd also say that it does. Yeah, you know, some people take a lot longer to, you know, to transition from, you know, civic nationalist to racial nationalist. But I do know of people who, you know, from the Manchester Arena bombing, went from watching Tommy Robinson to being full reading James Mason's Siege and being a full National Socialist. That's within a matter of months. So it can happen very quickly. But what we can't do is we can't put our faith, as I've said before, I said it in the first episode, we can't put our faith in people who are not on our side. And at the moment, as long as somebody like Tommy Robinson is being paid by Ezra Levant and is taking these positions where, you know, he says he hates Nazis and blah, 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 then you simply can't put any trust in them. And until, you know, the proof is in the pudding at the end of the day, until you start seeing people coming out from the internet, and you know, people like Mark Collett and Millennial Woes do have big internet presences. Mark Collett, in all fairness to him, actually has been out there in the real world and done a lot of good stuff. You know, he did help organize the last Legion martial arts camp, I think, you know, so he's somebody who is doing stuff. But, you know, I think, you know, it'd be nice to see him do a little bit more. I think it'd be nice to see him front and center, not doing like shows with Tara McCarthy, but yeah, doing things in real life, you know. But as I say, there are people out there who are doing stuff. There is Generation Identity in the UK now who seem to be doing stuff. So if you're more not really wanting to get too much into the heavy side of things, there's that. And there are more heavier groups out there. As I say, there are the Daily Stormer book clubs. That's a great way for people who do have a lot of agency to get stuck in, because all you need to do is start posting on that BBS and networking with people and then getting the meetups organized. And then there's also groups like System Resistance Network, who are really, I mean, they're really out there. You know, they're proper hardcore siege pilled, full on National Socialist, and you know, they're doing a lot of stuff that is antagonizing the system at the moment. So you know, there's things there for people who want to go into the deep end, into the hardcore end of things, and there's things out there for the people who want to be on the more kind of softer end. So there's no, you know, there's no excuse not to be involved in stuff.
No excuse at all. It's good to know that there's a wide range of possibilities there. And I would say, you know, I understand what you're saying. I agree with you. You can't put your trust in Tommy Robinson or Anne-Marie Walters. I certainly wouldn't reach out to either of them to do anything with Radio Aryan, because you cannot put your trust in them. But in the same way, there are certain things that they do that I approve of. And hopefully people, after viewing their stuff or listening to their stuff, will hunger for more and will find us, and then they'll hear you talking then, Alex, and giving them suggestions of places where they can go, where the ideology will be a lot closer to what it should be.
Yeah, you can't doubt that. I mean, somebody like Tommy Robinson and Anne-Marie Walters and all of these people create big pools of people who are susceptible to certain ideas. You know, if you look at somebody even like Sargon of Akkad, you know, you can turn to him and look and see that there's an audience around him that would have have certain interests that intersect with our interests. And you can, and that always presents an opportunity. But unless there are people out there advocating for the full, uncompromising truth on race, then obviously you're not going to bring those people to our side. And so, you know, again, that's why it's important to build things up like Radio Aryan, and it's important to build things up in the real world as well. So, you know, that's the main thing, you know. And there's always opportunities out there. There's forum meetings, there's Daily Stormer book clubs, and there are you know, organizations out there. You know, there's always organizations out there cropping up who I'm sure hold meetups and do activism, and all people need to do is actually send them an email or send them a message on social media, and they can then get in on the fun. It really isn't that hard.
You know, there's potential there. It's just us capitalizing on it. I think having our own propaganda outlets is really important that we keep a hold of these. And this is why Radio Aryan never made YouTube our primary outlet, because we knew that YouTube would get censored. Same with Twitter and the rest of it. We've got to have our own outlets and make sure that they stay online, so that people can hear what we have to say, because it's important. You know, it is the most important thing there is to wake up to the truths about race and start preserving your race. All right, Alex, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next Monday with another Radio Aryan Britannia for you. So until then, we hope you have a great week ahead of you.
Listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.